Glory to God. The church world will probably ever be glad that Andre Crouch's sister reached in the trash and pulled that out. Some things that man thinks ought to be thrown away, aren't you glad God doesn't think like that? There's a lot of us tonight might not have been here if it would have been up to the world. They would have said, well, they're just not worth saving, or they're not worthy of saving. Well, I got news for you. I've never met anybody that was worthy of saving. Y'all hear? I said, I've never met anybody that was worthy of saving. But thank God he saved us anyhow. Can you say amen? Such a wonderful privilege to be here with Brother Sister Snow. And as he's already said, we're no strangers here. So I don't expect us to have a watch night service tonight. We don't need to have one of them. January's already passed. So no watch night services tonight. And so y'all know us. We're no prettier than we was the last time we was here. And so we can just get in and have church together. We appreciate Brother and Sister Snow and have great confidence and great love for them and the work here at Kilgore. And we just have been looking forward, as I said, to coming. We have just recently took the pastorate of a church. And so actually, this yesterday was my third Sunday. And I know I was supposed to be here, but Brother Sam was kind enough, understanding my situation, that he let me off on that. And so I appreciate that. Thank you so much for the understanding. But I still wanted to come. And there was a few things that I kept on my schedule, very few things, but this was one of them. And I wanted to keep this. And I would like to say I felt like keeping it, but and that's why I did keep it. So I sure would like for God to give us an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? Things that happen like this, old tent revivals, tent meetings, you never know where the seed may land. And who might be listening? Let me tell you a little story. You can be turning to Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51, very familiar passage of Scripture. There was a man that was a missionary to Africa. And the Lord spoke to him one evening. He was going to an appointment, which is what they called it back then. That was his words. He said, I was going to an appointment. His name was Robert, and Brother Robert, and he said, I was going to this appointment, and he said, the Lord laid it on me so strong to talk about how missions to Africa was in, there was such a need in missions to the country of Africa, and he said, God just pounded in my heart all afternoon, make stress how needful it is, how great the need is on the mission field there. And so he became very excited because that's what he did. And so his heart was there. And he said, okay, it's going to be a wonderful thing. And there's going to be these people here and I'm going to preach to them, you know, and they're going to catch the burden. But when he showed up that night to the appointment, there was four or five elderly ladies. None of them were under 70 years old. That was there that night in the meeting. When he came in and sat down and they started the meeting that night with a little song and a word of prayer, he looked around and he said, now God, me or you one has missed a boat. There's nobody here. All of these ladies are 70 years old. There's nobody here that is qualified or even can. And this is exactly his words. He said, they've got one foot in a grave and another on a banana peel, God. And they're fixing to slide right out of here. And you want me to talk about missions? And God spoke to him again in the service and said, you do what I told you. So he made the statement I read where he said, with all of the fervor under the circumstance that I could seem to muster or come up with, he said, I gave my heart to the best of my ability on Africa and what a need that there was and how great the need was, and God was looking for people to go. And he said, even while I'm preaching or I'm speaking, I'm thinking, boy, this is a messed up deal. He said, walking home from my appointment, He said, I said out loud, that has got to be the most fruitless, worthless service I have ever been in my life. That was totally a waste of time. What he did not know, Brother Snow, was up in the bell tower, kind of, where the pumps were to the pipe organ, there was a little boy sitting up there that he could not see, looking through the louvers and listening to what he had to say. That little boy's name was David Livingston, and he was sitting up in there listening, and what that preacher said when he could not see any result so got into David Livingston's heart until right now today, probably, he's been one of the greatest renowned missionaries that Africa ever had, all because a man obeyed God. And he actually ended up marrying that man's daughter that gave that message that day. Are y'all hearing me? So you don't know where this is going. So I say, let's just have church together. Can you say amen? When these people drive by, let's don't be sitting there like a bunch of knots on a log. Let's let them see something going on under here. We're glad we're saved. Come on here now. We're Pentecostal by experience. And we're happy we're on our way to heaven. Psalms chapter 51, a very familiar passage of scripture. To everyone here tonight that's saved, I would like to ask a question, if you don't mind. And if you'll help, I'm going to raise my hand first. How many in your spiritual walk at some time or another has used Psalms 51 in your own personal prayers? Anybody beside me, raise your hand real high. I've used Psalm 51 in my own personal prayer. We know this is a psalm of repentance, of David repenting, and that this is what he says in verse 3. He says, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Stretch your hand this way and ask God to anoint us tonight. Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for this wonderful crowd that's here, the Spirit of the Lord that we've already felt. Now, God, I need an anointing from another world. God, that I cannot bring down, but you can give. I'm asking you to anoint my lips of clay in my mind. Lord, anoint this congregation to hear, and some soul out there in the darkness, God, would you lay the word of God into their heart, Lord, and let them feel what Brother Rogers told us he felt. God, we thank you and we praise you, for in the name of Jesus, and everybody said together, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for honoring the word of God. David is praying a prayer of repentance. I do not want to spend a bunch of time tonight talking about David's sin. We all know about that. But David is repenting. And God even made this statement that David was a man after his own heart. And it was not because David was flawless. It did not mean that David did not make mistake. Matter of fact, we know a lot better than that. But I'm going to tell you why I believe it was because he was not afraid to go back and fall down and admit he had made a mistake. Somebody ought to say amen. And I enjoy counseling. Now, there are some pastors that do not enjoy counseling, but I'm not in that category. I enjoy that. I actually enjoy psychology as long as it stays within the bounds of reason. I do enjoy psychology and the way that the human mind works, and I've met a few people. I wondered if there was anything working at all, and when they left me, they wondered if mine was working, but I do enjoy counseling, and one thing I can tell you about counseling, and even tonight, if you went to some secular place, such as a drug rehabilitation center, or even maybe AA, one of the first things that they're going to get you to do is, number one, admit you are an alcoholic, a drug addict, or whatever they're trying to do. One thing you find in counseling, counseling, the first step to getting anywhere is you must admit, I have a problem. I'm going to tell you, that's why everybody that you meet today is saved, is because nobody wants to admit they have a problem. But the Word of God tells us we all have had a problem, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I do not have the ability within myself, contrary to what some say. If you'll dig deep enough into yourself, you'll find light. I'm going to tell you, you dig deep into yourself, you'll find out that your heart is desperately wicked and you don't even know it. And there's no light but that that comes from the light. Somebody ought to say amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the light. Hallelujah. That come to us. But you can't get off of first base with anybody until they admit, I have a problem. We can't start a counseling session with you. We can't start to get you help until we can get you to a place where you admit, I am messed up. I have a problem. Can you say amen? I'm going to tell you, when you come to the altar, there's really only one thing to do. That's plead guilty. Hallelujah. Don't come down here toot your own horn. It won't be too loud. Hallelujah. And you won't be ready when Gabriel toots on his. Somebody ought to say amen. But you need to come to the altar and you need to do like David. And David started out here right. He said, I acknowledge my transgression. I'm in a mess. I need help. I can't help myself. I've met people and I've talked to them and I've heard men and women say, when I get everything fixed up, I'm going to get right with God. I have an immediate return for that. I always ask them, how good have you been doing with that? I always get the same answer. Things are in more of a mess today than they've ever been in before, because you can't fix yourself. Somebody ought to say amen. You can't fix your problem. You can't turn over a new leaf and everything will be all right in your life. But the song leader sang it tonight. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? I want to tell you tonight, it's still the blood of Jesus. I said it's still the blood of Jesus. It still works today just like it always did. What I've got to do is acknowledge my transgression. I've got to admit I'm a mess. I'm in trouble. I can't get out. I can't do better. But I'm going to tell you, you can't do it by yourself. But with God, all things are possible. Only believe. Glory to God. So David, he starts out right. He says, I acknowledged my transgression, my sin. I acknowledged I have a sin problem. Everybody under the sound of my voice tonight would have to admit, I have had a sin problem. Now, contrary to some opinions, you don't have to have a constant sin problem. You can have a deliverance from sin. Somebody ought to say amen. For when I come into Christ, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. And if you'll so allow me to say, old man has passed away and all things have become new. I want to tell you something. Now listen, everybody didn't get delivered just like everybody else did. I can't understand that, and you can't either. Some people, my dad was one of them. It took my dad a long time to get over our wall, to get over the desire for nicotine that he had in his life. But he overcame it because he stuck with it. Are y'all up in here tonight? I want to tell you something. I feel like telling somebody here right now, just stick with it. I said, just stick with it. If you fall down, get up again. Look the devil in the eye and say, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. You may get me today, but I'm going to be up tomorrow. I said, I'm going to be up tomorrow. Hallelujah. I want to preach a little while tonight. You thought I was through. I want to preach a little while tonight, the Lord would help me, on when your sin changes positions. When your sin changes positions. My sin, David said, is ever before me. I acknowledge, I've made the admission, it's not my brother or my sister, but it's me, O Lord. I fess up. I did it. That's one of the things when the devil brings your past up before you, is he will bring literal things that actually happened. That part's not a lie. He actually brings events back to you that you know you were a part of, you was there, and you did it. And although we have been to the altar and acknowledged our sin and acknowledged our transgression, and yet time has went by, and every once in a while, from out of nowhere, our sin is ever before us. David said, I lay down on my bed at night, and my sin is ever before me. I get up and I go through my day, and I wake up and I pray, and I go to the job, but some old song comes on the radio that I have no control over, and my sin is ever before me. I drive by some old haunt where I used to go, and my sin is ever before me. I feel like preaching to somebody tonight. You've been dealing with your sin. Hallelujah. You really know he's forgiven you. And you really know it's behind you. And you really know it's under the blood. And yet you're here tonight. And you'd have to say, preacher, I just can't get it out of my face. Every once in a while out of the blue, I feel like I've got victory. And then my sin is right there again. And it's fresh and it's new. And it hurts like it was yesterday. And I found myself on my knees asking God to forgive me over something I've already prayed through about. I just can't get it out from in front of my face.
We've all been there. I said we've all been there. Brother Frank, and I'm so glad they're here tonight. And it's good to see them. We appreciate them and the work they do. He made the statement a while ago. He said, I wish that night, years ago when I was a boy, somebody would have helped me get to God. I'm paraphrasing for him just a little there, but that's what he was saying. I wish somebody would have told me how to get to God. Hallelujah. And this is what he said after that. He said, because there's a lot of scars I wouldn't have to have on my life. You know what he is talking about? He was talking about things that are way back there. But after all these years, if you're not careful, in order to rob you, your sin will be there again, right there in your face. Is there anybody I'm preaching to tonight? You would like to get some things from out in front of you. I said you would like to get some things out of your way. Hallelujah. I come to tell you tonight, there is a God in heaven that still forgives sin. There may be a world out there that wants to act like they don't have any.
many. But we've got a world that's covered up in sin and ungodliness and lust and lasciviousness. Somebody ought to say amen. And the spirit of murder walks up and down our streets. Somebody ought to say amen. And the spirits of hell are roaming all around. But I come to tell you tonight, there is still freedom from every bondage of sin. I said there's still freedom from every bondage of sin. I don't care where you're at, and I don't care where you are, and I don't care what you've done. There's a God in heaven that is big enough. Hey, what can wash away my sin? Somebody help me preach here. Nothing but the blood. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. I got good news for you in this house. It's still working today.
I know some of you have heard me tell this. I felt this evening sometime in this message I would tell this. And I remember being in a meeting one night and a huge man come in. I'm not going to go through all of it. Some of you have heard me tell it. A huge man come in, well over 7 feet tall. Massive man. That night when the altar call was given, he walked down the aisle. I was just a young man, probably 15, 16, 17 years old, somewhere in there. He knelt down on the floor. And at the altar call, he came down the aisle. He knelt down on the floor and put his hands together like a child. And the tears was running down his face. Brother Sam, one of the things I remember is when he opened his eyes, he cocked his finger at my mother like that. When somebody that big tells you to come here, you go over there. My mother walked over there, and I remember this vividly. Him on his knees. He was taller than my mother on his knees. My mother looked up at him, and I was standing pretty close. Brother Mike, that man said, "Lady, you preached tonight that God would forgive anybody. But," he said, "lady, will God forgive for murder?" I'm going to be honest with y'all. I was about 16, 17, I can't remember, maybe 17 at the time. I'll tell y'all what I did. I kind of backed up a couple of steps and took another look at him. But my little mother didn't. She looked right up in his face, and instantly she said, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Are y'all up in this house tonight? I come to tell somebody, if you've got a sin problem, I've got a sin solver. Somebody ought to say amen. If you've got a transgression problem, I've got a Savior that can take care of it. Hey, brother, thank God for the day he took my sin away.
Those huge shoulders began to shake, and after a while, Brother Sam, he raised his head, and his smile lit his face, and I heard that big man say, "He did it. He really, really did it."
Woo! I want to tell everybody in here tonight, if you come to this altar, he did it. I wish y'all was with me just a little more. I said, if you came to this altar and repented, he did it. I said, he did it. David said, "Man, I can't get my sin out of my face. It keeps cropping up. Everywhere I look, I'm reminded of it. I'm going crazy, God. I need help. My sin is ever before me." I want to raise my hands. I come to church and I'm getting ready to really worship God. And my sin is ever before me. I'm getting ready to shout. I'm getting ready to rejoice. And my sin is ever before me. I need something to get my sin out of my way. Hey, brother, I feel like preaching to you a little while tonight. I need to sin, God. I know he forgave me. I just need it out of my face.
Kind of like the old farmer praying for the Holy Ghost. Are you praying for the Holy Ghost? He's down at the altar and he kept getting close. Every time he'd get close, seemed like it would leave and go away and they couldn't figure out what it was. He was getting ready to harvest soybeans. And every time he'd get close, he'd get to seeing them beans and thinking about it raining on them.
And one night they didn't know what was happening, didn't knock him plumb out. One night he is down there praying and the Holy Ghost come. And here come the beams. And they didn't know what was going on until all of a sudden he threw both hands in the air and hollered, "Oh God, get the beams out of my eyes." And when he did, God baptized him in the Holy Ghost and fire. I feel like there's somebody in this house tonight. You ought to throw up your hands and say, "Oh God, get this out of my face. I've dealt with it long enough. I don't want to deal with it anymore." Hey, brother, I come to tell you, we're dealing with a God who is able to subdue your iniquity. I got to hurry here. Hallelujah. David, he's in despair. He's despondent. He's beside himself. My sin, God, it's ever before me. I wish I could see something else. I wish I could see the mercy of God. I wish I could see the blessings of God. Oh God, but my sin is all that I can see. Oh God, help me. But I need to take you to Isaiah chapter 38 and preach a little while. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse number 17. And the writer here starts out like this. I feel like this is David, if you'll allow. David would have said these words. "Behold, for peace, I had great bitterness." I mean, preacher, that initial night I got up from the altar, I had such joy, I had such peace. My God, I thought I'd never feel bad again. And yet some time has passed by, and my sin has come up before me again. My God, help me, preach. It's in my face again, and I don't know what to do with it. And the writer said, "For peace, I had great bitterness." Hallelujah. Oh, is there anybody here tonight would like for the Lord to restore unto you the joy? Help me preach, Holy Ghost. I said, "The joy of thy salvation." Hey, brother, I used to shout. I used to run. I used to rejoice. Hey, brother, let's forget the used to and get the sin out of our face. Amen, amen, and realize. Hallelujah. It's gone. I said, "It's gone." I said, "It's gone."
Said, "I had great bitterness." But I'm going to tell you, this scripture changes here, and it makes me so happy I may shout while y'all sit there. "But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption." Hey, hallelujah. "But thou hast in love delivered my soul from the pit of corruption." I don't know where you was at when God found you, but I was in a pit. Wave your hand at me so I know you ain't dead. Hallelujah. I said, "I was in a pit when he found me. I was in a mess when he found me." And the soul singer said, "Well, ago, I was a going down for the last time, and no one heard my cry. But thank God for the day in love, he came to the pit that I was in, and he took me by the hand. And David said, he brought me up also out of a harbor." This is a problem that we have such difficulty today, appealing to the sinner in America. They do not feel like they are in a horrible pit. They come to church on Easter Sunday morning, and they come to church on Christmas, and we fret and wonder why they didn't come to the altar. It's not because the Spirit of God doesn't deal with people anymore, or that conviction is any less than it used to be. It's that men are no longer convicted of their sin to the place they're sick of it. And until men get sick of their sin, praying doesn't do much for them. You know what? You know what I'm going to say to this church right here? I don't know how you've been praying, but if I was you, I'd start praying this way: "Lord, lead me to those that are sick of their sin. Lead me to them." Hallelujah. I've told y'all that before.
Hallelujah. But I'm telling you again, lead me to them that are sickest. Hallelujah. Because I was in a pit and he brought me up out of the pit of corruption. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But listen to this. I like this right here. For thou hast cast, oh, I preach it on when your sin changes positions. Thou hast cast all my sin behind thy back. Somebody ought to say amen. I'm going to tell you the only way your sins can be in front of your face tonight, you've been sneaking around behind God's back. Somebody ought to say amen. I said you had to be sneaking behind God's back. So I've got to tell you, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. Woo! Thank God. My sin is not in my face. My sin is behind his back. I said they're behind his back.
I've heard many people, I've heard many testimonies through the years. I've yet, Brother Snow, to hear a testimony where anybody said, I wish I'd have waited a little while and done a little more sinning before I got saved. I've never heard that said one time in my life. But over and over I've heard men and women say, I would to God, I'd have got right with God a long time before I did. Are y'all here tonight? I would to God, God would have helped change my life. Way back down the road down there somewhere, I got news for you. He would have done it. I want to tell somebody here tonight. And I just want to say this. I want to back up what Brother Rogers said. If you're a child here tonight and you feel the tugging of God on you and there's some sins in front of your face, I got good news for you. Before you go home, them things can be behind God's back. Hey, I need a church to help me here. I said those sins can be behind his back. We all came to the altar with our sin before us. But thank God when we got up, hallelujah, before we come to the altar, I said to Bobby, we couldn't raise our hands. We couldn't shout hallelujah. But when them sins rolled up on our back and they got out of our face and they landed behind his back in that depths of the sea, brother, I got news for you. If you find your sin, you're going to have to go snorkeling and you won't be able to find it there. Hey, brother, I got news for you, my friend. God has a way of obliterating our sin. He can obliterate your sin.
January number one this year, we started revival at the home church that I have attended for the past 6 years. Brother Terry Guthrie's there in Charlottesville, Oklahoma. We started revival January number one. Started revival there. We closed that revival out way up in the rafters. 5 weeks later, Brother Snow. Whew. God can't send revival no more. I dare to disagree with you. One Sunday afternoon, I stood in a baptistry for 3.5 hours. And baptized 77 in water. That was this year. Are y'all listening to me? I baptized my state representative and his wife at the same time, standing in that water. Hey, is there any, God can reach anywhere. God can reach way up there into the state house, and he can reach way down here in the whorehouse. Somebody ought to help me. God can reach down in the halfway house. I feel like preaching here a little bit tonight. I feel a little bit of the devil rising up, but that's all right. That just lets me know I got on his territory. I want to tell you something tonight. He still delivers. He still saves. He still brings men and women out. And there's nothing too hard. And there's no sin too great. And there's nobody too poor. He can't reach all.
State representative's wife's come up to me on a Wednesday night at the end of service. She come up on the platform. She said,
Brother Anthony, she said, we just had a man that's went to work for us in our business. They have a business, a storm shelter business. Y'all been needing some of them around here, I think. A storm shelter business. And she said he's an Iraq war veteran. I don't know how many trips he had made over there. She said he doesn't know anything about God. Said, I've been talking to him. Are y'all here? She don't know much herself. I'll just be honest with you. She don't know much of anything. She said, I've been talking to him, and she said he's coming Friday night. She said, he told me today, I don't know anything about God, but I don't believe he'd forgive me for the things that I've done. She said, he's coming Friday night, preacher. You better preach a good one. I threw it right back on her. I said, forget that. You better pray a good one. Hallelujah. I'll do my part, but you better pray a good one. Friday night came. Brother, I'm telling you, we was having revival. I'm just telling you, we was. We had put up for probably 2 weeks by then. We had the overflow opening. People sitting in the overflows every night. Are y'all hearing me preach? I'm talking about in 2017. There was nights there was people would walk in. I'd stand up there by Brother Guthrie. I'd say, who are they? He said, I don't know. I never seen them in my life. And another family would walk in and I'd say, who are they? And he'd say, I ain't never seen them in my life. I don't know who they are. And we'd give the altar call at 7 or 8 sinners at a time that nobody ever saw. There was a line and, hey, brother, I come to tell you, he can still cast sin behind his back. He still has the power to give revival. You can have it right here at Kilgore. I feel a little bit of it on this stage right now. I want to tell you something. He is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we can ask or even think. Somebody magnify God up in his
heart. Friday night rolled around. The overflows was full. It was full from down to the back, plumb through the foyer to the back door. I stood up that night and began to preach. I don't have any idea what I preached on. I don't make a lick of difference in the world. All that really does matter is, Brother Snow, the Holy Ghost got to walking up and down the aisle. And conviction got to walking around. When I gave the altar call that night, sinners come out from all over the place. But I'm going to tell you, that man, that Iraqi war vet stepped out in the aisle. And he walked right down and he knelt down there at an altar. And Brother Mike, he didn't hardly know what was going on. And he said, God won't forgive me. But when he stood up on the altar a little while later, he had changed his mind. I got so thought of a holy, but the sin that was in front of his face, I'm making him believe, God won't save me. And those sins were gone. And no wonder the songwriter said, but you ask me why I'm happy. Is there anybody here? So I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Is there anybody happy? Raise your hands and magnify God. Last spring, I held a revival at the home church where I was raised for Brother Aaron Brock. One night at the end of service, after service was even over, we'd had a good service that I remember. But after service was over, the convicting power of God was still lingering. My mother walked back, and they was there. My mother walked back and went to dealing with a young lady that had been gone away from God for many, many years. The next thing we knew, she was walking down the aisle, kneeling at the altar. Wept and quit. Church done been dismissed. Hallelujah, but aren't you glad God's throne room of mercy's never closed? Shakanada bahoya tamaya. If you're in this house tonight, I want to tell you, mercy door is open yet today. If you're out there in the dark somewhere listening, mercy door is open right this minute. I said it's open right this minute. Hallelujah. And I'll never forget it. She prayed all the way through. I said she prayed all the way through until the glory of God fell down. She raised her head up, and I don't believe I'll forget it for a long time. She looked around. She looked at my mother, and she said, I forgot how good it felt to be clean. I forgot how good it felt for my sins not to be hanging in front of my face. I forgot how good it felt when the glory came down and I was clean inside. Woo! Hallelujah. You say, but preacher, these sins, God must be. No. No. He said, I cast them behind my back. And I'm going to close out in James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, but get this, neither shadow of turning. He said, I threw your sin behind my back, and I'll never turn around, and I'll never look at him again, and I'll never hold him against you again. I ain't even thought about turning around. I'm not even thought about bringing them up. Hey, brother, don't let the devil drag you down anymore. God's not about to bring them up again. Raise your hands and magnify God.
I'm a little blown backwards here tonight. Here's why. You may not remember this, but for the past three times that I have come to Kilgore in separate times, I have felt like preaching almost the very same thing to this congregation. Now, you may be in here tonight and think, well, he don't have anything else to preach. Well, you're sadly mistaken. But I want to tell you something. God is wanting to tell somebody, get that out of your face and go on. Get that out of your face. It's behind my back. And go on. Get down on your knees and have faith to believe. I'm going to answer your prayer. Because it's not there anymore. It's gone. I said it's gone. Stand all over the house. Somebody raise your hands and thank God that His mercy, hallelujah, has endured forever.
My sin, my mistakes. Preacher, that same thing that I've tripped over again and again. Come now. I want to go on in God. I want to have faith to believe. I want to have what these others have. And yet, my sin is ever before me. And I don't feel like, while every head is bowed, I don't feel like anything bothers them. You have no idea what sin the devil may try to bring up in their face. Come now. That's a problem when you compare yourself among yourself. You look over there and you think, well, they don't have any problem. I'm going to tell you, you have no idea what they may have dealt with this very day. And yet we're here tonight after all these years, and we've got victory, and we're going on with God. Hallelujah. And we got the devil under our feet. And it's not because we're great, it's because He's great. Woo. I said, it's because He's great. Well, every head is bowed in the house, every eye's closed, and nobody's looking around. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here tonight, while nobody's looking at you, that say, preacher, I got some things I wish I could get out of my face? I want you to slip your hand up right now.
thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I just would like some things to get out of my face. I'm sick and tired of them hanging around. I need them to get gone. Every time I start drawing up close to God, I'm dealing with them again. God sent me to tell you tonight, you don't have to deal with them. They've changed positions. They are behind my back. I said they are behind my back. Hey, while every head is bowed, is there anybody that break out of their pew tonight and you would head toward this altar and you'd say, I'm going to get some victory. I'm not backslid. I'm not lost. I just want some victory. I'm not going back on God. I just want some victory. Somebody ought to be moving. I said somebody ought to be moving. Somebody ought to be coming to the furnace house. Somebody ought to raise your hands in the air. Somebody ought to tell the devil, get behind me. My sins are gone. You can't do that to me anymore. My sins are gone.
I know my spirit's gone, and it seems I can hardly go to you. I see victory.
I see victory.
Anytime the wall